from 1 Peter in the first chapter. And the title of this section, if you have your Bible, maybe it has something similar. It is called Praise to God for a Living Hope. So hear these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My wife is a researcher. She does statistics and studies with numbers and gets information from people and then makes it into pretty charts and graphs and that kind of thing. But have you ever gotten to know some researchers who think up grand ideas of what they can research? Well, here is an example of one of the more bizarre. They decided they wanted to see how long a frog would swim in water. Why in the world would you want to know this? But I don't ask the questions. Here's what they did. They took a group of frogs and set them in pots of water and said, let's see how long they last. A couple of hours went by. The frogs were still swimming. A little while longer, they kept swimming. But the frogs did not get a break. And eventually, after a couple of hours, all of the frogs, actually, I think these, I'm getting my stories mixed up. These were rats. These were not frogs. I'm sorry. Too many illustrated rats. Frogs can swim for a very long time. These were rats. And after a couple of hours, the rats gave up swimming, and they all drowned. It's like, yay, way to go, researchers, killing animals. It's not very exciting at all. And so they also had another group that they put into the same, they had the same situation. They put them into the same pots. And this second group of rats, they did something differently. About every 30 minutes, they would grab each rat, pull it out of the water, and then stick it right back in. Just a couple of seconds of a break for these poor little rats that are stuck swimming. And the researchers were hypothesizing, maybe these rats will last even longer. Maybe they'll last 6, maybe 8 hours, maybe even as much as 12. But the researchers had their time set up, and they had allowed for about 12 hours worth of swimming time for the rats. And so they put the rats in. Every 30 minutes, one of them would go over, lift each rat out, just to give them just a moment's break. And a remarkable thing happened. These rats kept swimming past the two-hour mark for the first group. They kept swimming to 4. They kept swimming to 8. They kept swimming to 12 hours. And at this point, the researchers are growing a little concerned because they got to go home. They got to go get dinner. They got to go see their families. But the rats kept swimming. So they said, well, we've got to see how long this goes. We're researchers, and this information is important to us. So they kept the experiment going. 16 hours. It's the middle of the night. They keep going. 20 hours. The rats are still swimming. 10 times longer than the other group. And they're only getting a break every 30 minutes for about a second. 24 hours. It's the next morning. The rats are still swimming. And the researchers say, I need to go to sleep. The experiment is over. Put the rats back in the cage. And they pull the rats out, and the rats are saved. The difference between the two groups was not getting a break, because the trial was essentially exactly the same. The difference between the two groups was one group was holding on to hope. Hope that maybe in just a couple more minutes, if I can hold on, I will be rescued. Maybe if I can continue to hold on another couple of minutes, I will be rescued. And every time that hand descended into the pot, the rats were overjoyed. I'm being saved. And then the trial continues. Some people would call this torture, and it may very well be. I don't know what time period these researchers were doing this. They do crazy things, but they teach us in this experiment the value and the importance of hope. This scripture starts with the words of hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope. And then he goes on through all of these other things. The hope brings forth faith, and faith brings forth salvation. And so even later, in a different book, we have in Corinthians, the chapter on love. And at the very end, these three remain. What are they? Does anybody know? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Hope, in my opinion, when all else is gone, hope is the one thing that remains. Love may be the greatest, but hope is the last one to leave. Hope is the one that will hold on the longest. When life turns into a tornado, the fingernails that you're using to hold on to sanity, the fingernails are hope, the last thing that you have to hold on to. It all begins with hope. Hope is so powerful, as we see through the story of the rats. Hope gives us all kinds of abilities that we wouldn't have otherwise. Hope becomes so important to our lives of faith. Many of us encounter situations in our lives where our faith is tested, where we begin to doubt. Did you know that there's no problem with doubt in the scriptures? Doubt is not listed as a sin. Your faith may waver, your faith may choke up at times, and your faith may even almost not exist anymore. But the thing that keeps your faith there is hope. Now, what is it that we are hoping for? What is the hope about? Why do we have hope? What is the hope in? And the very end of the scripture are those words. It is about salvation. I'm going to read that last verse again. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, faith that comes from, what's our word today? Hope. You can say it better than that. I'm going to rewind and go back. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, faith that comes from, very good, the salvation of your souls. So it all begins with hope. In my life, I'm now officially a reverend. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister of the gospel. I can do things like I can celebrate this meal with you today and lead it. And so there is a certain amount of prestige that comes with that, and a certain amount of, putting me on a pedestal. But I was cautioned not to do this. Don't, as a minister, don't ever show your weaknesses. Don't ever show your flaws. But I will confess to you today, I am a frequent doubter. I am a frequent faith crisis person. There are all sorts of horrible things in this world that will cause you to maybe lose a little of your faith. There are situations where you look at and you say, how in the world can this happen if there is a God of the universe? How does a God that we know and we love, a God that loves us, allow these horrible tragedies to happen? And we wrestle with different things, and especially when those tragedies become very personal. When those things happen in your life, hope is the fingernails that are keeping us attached to this world. Hope keeps us grounded, because we have hope that the things that we do believe, that this God that we say is here, that sometimes we're not really, really sure, we hope that that God really is there. We hope that that God really does love us, and we hope that that God really is going to save us. And we are promised that that hope will grow and blossom into faith. Maybe faith that we've lost and we need to get back, but faith that will come as a result of that hope. The title of this sermon is A New Hope, And maybe some of you caught that reference, maybe some of you did not, but I'm a little bit of a geek, especially when it comes to sci-fi movies. And in 1977, one of the best movies that's ever been created was brought forth for everyone to see, Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. My fellow geeks, thank you for your applause. But if you're not familiar with the Star Wars world, I'm so sorry that you're missing out on such a wonderful opportunity. But in this world, the first three episodes, which were created later, which I don't understand his logic there, Mr. George Lucas, but the first three episodes are about things getting as bad as they possibly can. And the most fitting and the best title for the beginning of the second series of movies is A New Hope. The world is falling apart, everything is going crazy, and we have nowhere to turn, but there is this one hope that we have. This hope in this guy named Luke Skywalker, but for us, we have an even greater hope, a hope in a man named Jesus. A man that came a long time ago and gives us this hope through his sacrifice. So, hope can give us a lot of things. There's a teacher, and one of the things that she did as a part of her teaching career was that she worked in the local hospital. And when children went into the hospital with illnesses, or they were going to be there for a couple of weeks, or maybe even a long time, like a month, she would go in and help the children stay current with their lessons. And so every week she would get a phone call and say, okay, there's this child in the hospital, this is the teacher's notes, and this is the things they're going to learn, if it's going to be math or if it's going to be geography. And so she got a routine piece of paper one day that printed off in her little printer in her office and said, you need to go see little Billy. Little Billy is studying adverbs and adjectives, and he needs some help to stay current because he's going to be in the hospital for a little while. And so she walked up to Billy's room, and the nurse came out, and the nurse had this sad, sad, discouraged look on her face. And the nurse obviously did not want to talk about anything, just walked right past this teacher, and the teacher said, I hope everything's okay. And she walked into the room, and there lays little Billy. His body is completely covered in bandages from the fire that he was in. Over 80% of his body is burned. And every couple of seconds, Billy moans with pain. It is one of the most difficult things for any medical professional to go into, much less a teacher who's not prepared for these things. And she's speechless for the first few moments that she's in the room. But not knowing anything else to do, not knowing what to say, she sits down and does the thing that comes naturally. She begins to teach. Well, little Billy, today we're going to talk about adjectives and adverbs. And her discomfort goes away as she pours herself into her lesson for the day. And 30 minutes later, she finishes her lesson that she's done with so many other children in this hospital, and she leaves, completely shaken to her core at what she has just witnessed in this poor child, where she is in mid-sentence and he's still moaning with pain. Well, she goes back to her office and just sits in silence for a little while. She does not know what to do. She has no other appointments for the day, so she just sits there. She sheds a few tears of pity and worry for this poor child. A remarkable thing happens. Later that afternoon, as she's getting ready to leave, she receives a phone call. And it turns out to be the nurse that she met as she was going into Billy's room that was coming out. And the nurse says, are you the teacher who came into Billy's room earlier this morning? And she says, well, yes, I am. I'm so sorry. I hope I didn't mess him up for the day. I hope I didn't make it worse. And she said, no. It's remarkable. Billy, his pain is less. He's showing more signs of improvement. All of a sudden, all of the things that we were worried about, they're all getting better. What did you do? And she said, I did nothing. I just taught my lesson. And so she went back to the nurse on her way. She was leaving. She said, I'm not leaving yet. I got to go back and see this nurse. She went back to the nurse. And she and the nurse both went into Billy's room, and they said, Billy, are you okay? What happened? And Billy said to them, well, I know that they're not going to send a teacher to my room to teach me about adverbs and adjectives if I'm going to die. So, obviously, I'm going to be okay. Billy was living without hope. And the moment that he had the hope, his life changed. So not only is hope just the very basis of our very faith, hope also gives us the ability to accomplish things that we would not accomplish otherwise. When we have the hope of knowing who we are and where we are going and what our destination is, what do we have to be afraid of? What do we have to worry about? What do we have to hold us back? Hope gives us our faith. Hope gives us our motivation. And hope gives us peace. I had all sorts of things planned for this sermon that I was going to say, but as many of you know, last weekend, a tragedy happened in my family. My aunt, I'll call her Aunt Dorothy. Aunt Dorothy had been struggling for a long time in her life with severe arthritis, the kind that you really can't do a lot about. It was in her hips, it was in her knees, it was in her hands, it was in her arms, her elbows. She could not walk without a walker. She could not get around her house without her husband's help. She was in a very sad situation. But Aunt Dorothy had a remarkable thing about her. She had hope. She said, and she's a Baptist, so you have to kind of forgive her a little bit. She said, "I'm going to be all right. Jesus is going to take me to heaven, and I'm going to be arthritis free." Every day of her life was centered around hope. Every day of her life, her arthritis was manageable. Her pain that she was in constantly was okay, because she knew this life is only temporary, and I'm going to be all right for eternity. Because I'm going to heaven, I'm going to be with Jesus, and my body's going to be fine. I'm going to be able to walk. I'm going to be able to dance. I'm going to be just fine. And so, but because of her arthritis, because of some of the problems she was facing, she was taking some medication that severely weakened her immune system. And so Aunt Dorothy, a couple of weeks ago, got a tiny little infection in her lungs. And this grew and became something else, and it took over most of her body. Her organs started to shut down. And then last weekend, as I was preparing for my first sermon, Aunt Dorothy is on her way down. And as I am getting ready to start something new, Aunt Dorothy is getting ready to end something old. And so Aunt Dorothy, it was about 5 hours after the sermon I did at 11 o'clock service, about 5 p.m., Aunt Dorothy went to see Jesus. And there is nothing in this world more remarkable than a funeral for a devoted and a believing and a passionate Christian person. Nothing more remarkable. When Aunt Dorothy's son, my cousin John, when he stands up and sings praises and laughs through his tears, it's because he has peace. Because he knows that his mom had peace her whole life because of her faith, because of her hope. Because she knew that one day it's going to be okay. One day I'm going to go on to salvation. One day it's all going to end. So in this series I'm doing, today is part two of January's five parts of New Beginnings. My question for us all is, how are we living as a people of hope? Are we living burdened every day by our own problems, by our doubts, by our sicknesses, by the whirlwinds of conflict that we see every day in our life, within our families, within our friends, within our coworkers? Are we burdened by those things to the point where we are no longer effective in our ministry? Have we ceased to be the light of Christ in this world because of all that we face? Or are we, as a people of hope, a people who have faith, a people who believe that there is something better, are we able to get rid of the problems of this world? Are we able to shrug off the conflict, seek peace, and continue to shine? Who are we today? People of God, I ask you to be with me and join with me as we try anew to have a new hope and to be a new light and to start this year with a new commitment to living as a people of hope. May we all have a new beginning today, living with hope and with our faith as the center of who we are. God, thank you for sending your Son, and thank you for giving us that tiny grain of hope that grows and blooms into faith. God, thank you for leading us. Even when things are tough, even when sickness abounds, even when we have doubts in our faith, God, thank you for continuing to love us. Thank you for continuing to lift us. Thank you for continuing to hold us. God, grow our hope. Grow it into faith. And God, grow our faith into salvation. And may we all be a people of hope today and all this year. Amen.